Second Chronicles chapter 16. As you're turning there, you know, Sunday, the preacher, the pastor, was, he gave us a word. And in the word, he mentioned something. I don't know if you caught it, but you need to get the tape and listen to it, the CD. He said something about someone running out of gas. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah.
And when he said that, that flipped over in me. I believe tonight there's someone here. There's a group of people here. It could be more than one. It could be more than two. But someone is on the verge of running out of gas. And you know what? It's probably not who you think it is.
Right.
It's probably not who you think. But I know this as a person who has run out of gas in my life, in my spiritual life, that's an awful place to be.
Yeah.
It's an awful place to be tired, worn out, just tired to the bone, just disgusted, just fed up with life in general, and you can't find mercy from anybody.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can look at someone and say, he's not talking about me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where you're just so worn out and you try to put on a happy face, you try to smile, you try to be encouraged, you do all the things we do, and then someone somewhere will say something and go, yeah. Like a bolt of lightning, parting your hair, it'd be just something said, just they didn't mean anything, but you're just tired.
Yeah.
You're just tired. Tonight, I want you to know tonight that I believe that if you will listen to the Lord, if you will heed His voice, forget the man, but listen to the Spirit of God, I believe there's healing in the house tonight.
Yes.
I believe there's deliverance in this house tonight.
Yes.
I believe it in spite of what you're believing.
Amen.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
How many of us want to see a move of God?
Yes.
How many of us desire to be in the water once again in our lives? Hallelujah. Now, don't raise your hand. If it's you, but if you're tired tonight, I want you to listen with just with everything in you. But the art of listening is to relax. You see, there's been times I've tried to listen and I've tried so hard I didn't hear a thing, and I struggled. And I've had people, bless Brother Kennedy, he's tried to talk to me in my past life as some things that I had pastored a small Assembly of God church, and he was my presbyter, and you can honestly say I made him what he is today. I drove him nuts almost. The twitch. I was hard-headed, but you know, I was trying to minister from a brokenness in myself that I didn't understand the grace of God. I didn't understand the gifts of God like I should have, and I was trying to pastor a church. I was running on empty. I'm a man that happens to know something about running on empty. You see, years ago, my brother could do anything. My brother could shoot pool and win and make money. My brother could gamble, play poker. He could make money. He'd go to the fair and he'd bring home the teddy bears that were this tall. I went to the fair one time and a buddy of mine was working in the booth. And I said, all right, throwing darts at balloons. I said, which one's got the big one? He looked around. He said, the one with that very little air in it, that's the one. I spent $5 on darts and couldn't get that balloon to break. And he finally said, you're going to get me in trouble. You got to leave. Had darts all around that balloon, but I couldn't do it. But my brother could do it. One time my brother, he was shooting pool, and this guy owed him a lot of money, and the guy decided he'd sell him a 1949 Ford for $50 and the balance of what he owed him. My brother got the car. It didn't have any nicks in it, didn't have any tears in the upholstery. Didn't perfect cool car. He let me drive the car. So I'm going to see Dottie. Dottie, this is in 1971, y'all, so you can do the math. I was going to drive to see my little Dottie at her house, and I've turned down her road, and when I did, the car went dead. And I'm thinking, piece of junk, that's why $50. He got what he paid for. And so I tried to start it and did everything it wouldn't, so I just got out and left the keys in, and I walked on down to Dottie's house and called him and said, your car's up here. It won't start. And he said, what's wrong? I said, I don't have a clue. It just won't start. He said, that's no problem. He turned around and sold it, made $125. The guy bought it sight unseen. The guy came up and picked up the car. He delivered the car and he called my brother up and said, you know what's wrong with him? My brother said, what? He says, out of gas. I never said I was that bright. My dad was a mechanic, but I was not. All I know is you turned the key and it went, meep, 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 and that's all. And it was out of gas. He made money, but I wound up walking again. I'm a man that knows about running out of gas. I am a man that knows it. Tonight, I want you to know tonight that if you're running out of gas, if you're tired, if you're on the verge of your dream dying, I want you to know that you're okay. You're in a good place. I want you to know you are blessed to be, because you're about to learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ that perhaps you did not know. You're about to learn something about Him. You would have preferred to do it a different way. But you're about to learn something about Him. You're about to learn that He is yes and amen.
Hallelujah.
You're about to learn that He loves you with a deep, abiding love.
That's right.
That He did not judge. He does not judge you.
That's right.
He came to give you life.
Yes.
The Lord showed me one time that even if He said, you know, when you pray and it's not now, He said, not now is not a no.
That's right.
It's just not now. It's yes, but not now. And in the, when He told me that, I had a vision of Him with a twinkle in His eye. How many of y'all ever, you've got children, your children are bothering you about something, you told them, say, no. But your eyes are going,
yeah.
Just keep on because you're about to get it.
Come on.
That's the goodness of the Lord that we have. We've forgotten. We forget in the day-to-day battles how good He is. How many of you are running out of gas? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you are running out of gas? How many of you are on the verge of the dream dying? You had a dream. You had a desire. You had a wish. You had a hope. And you feel like you've waited for so long. And the dream hadn't been watered in a long time.
That's right.
Nobody agrees with your dream. Nobody wants to hear it. And you're tired. Tonight,
yes.
I believe, is your night.
Amen.
In 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Some people don't like it, but I like it because it just makes a lot of sense. It says this, and you've heard this. It said, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Another version says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." Read it again. Listen to it. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why is He doing that? To show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Now, He was telling, this is a prophet. A prophet had come to King Asa. And this was a scripture that he's telling King Asa. So tonight is a night that's supposed to be a Bible teaching night. So I want us just to walk through this and take our time. Now the way you can help me is if you've got a puzzled look on your face, I'll stop on that place and I'll keep trying to explain it until you're worn out or I am. So if you're tired of hearing the same point, then you smile and say, "Move on. I got you." Do that. Do something. But he's talking to King Asa. Now, let's listen to some facts about King Asa. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, King Asa was a king of Judah, which was a southern tribe. Now, Israel was divided up into two countries, Judah, which was a southern tribe, and Israel, which was on the northern side. Asa was a king of the southern part. Now, when he became king, he began tearing down all the high places, the places of idol worship in his country. He not only did that, but he began to command the people to follow the Lord. He began to command them to worship Him with the threat of death if they did not. He began to what we said would be a revival of sorts to where they lived again. So King Asa began to do a lot of things in his country. And his country, as a result, began to experience prosperity and peace like they hadn't known in the years previously. God began to pour Himself out. Is that okay? God began to pour Himself out in ways that the country was just amazed at. And people from all over, from the northern tribes, they began to move south because they wanted to live in that promised land. They wanted to live in a place, be associated with a place that had peace, that had rest, that had prosperity. Yeah. They wanted to be associated with people who were blessed, and the countryside began to grow. Now, as a result of King Asa's reforms, God promised him something. Now, researchers disagree as to how long this lasted, but God promised him a season of peace. Most Bible scholars say that that season lasted 10 years. And isn't that interesting? In light of the fact that our pastor's teaching about this is the year that sets out the year for the next 10 years. Asa reformed his country. He caused the people to worship God. God gave him a decade of peace and prosperity and blessings. God did it for him. And Asa enjoyed the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
But now something happened here. At the end of the 10 years, or thereabouts, something began to change. Everybody say change.
Change.
Say change is good.
Change is good.
We can.
And we believe.
Change is good. But things began to change with King Asa. Now the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, if you'll pick up with me on verse 1. It said, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Now what's happened, the change now all of a sudden, he's had 10 years of peace, he's had 10 years of prosperity, he's had 10 years of blessings, and now all of a sudden somebody from the northern tribe wants to pick a fight. Isn't that like people? When just when you're just ready to just roll in, things is just good, 10 years, you're ready for the next 10, then all of a sudden somebody raises their nasty old head and they begin to come against you. That's what's happening here. This other king comes down, and what he's doing is just about 5 miles or so outside Jerusalem, he builds a fortification, a fortress, a type of a stronghold. And what he was wanting to do, this foreign king, was he was saying he was going to control who goes in and who comes out. In other words, he was trying to take over the country slowly but surely. Why was he doing that? Because he was jealous that people were going to that land. And so he decided he needed the plan to stop this thing. Now, we pick up, now Asa, if you go back and read in chapter 14, that he had been attacked by the Egyptians and the tribe and some people called the Lubin. And they were twice the huge army than what he's ever had faced before. They had many chariots and many horsemen. But he did something. He sought the Lord when they attacked him at that time. And so you would think, he'd do that again. But we're going to see that he didn't do that again. Something has changed. Asa, who had lived for 10 years in peace and prosperity, he had run out of gas. Something had happened. He'd run out of gas. What is going on? Listen to this. Verses 2. Let's pick up on verse 2. He said, Asa responded by taking silver and gold. Now, you hear what he's doing? He's taking silver and gold from the treasuries of the Lord's temple and from the royal palace. So he's taking God's money and his money. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, or Syria, who was ruling in Damascus along with this message. Verse 3, he said, let us renew the treaty that existed between your father and my father. See, I am sending you a gift of silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel, the guy who was attacking him, so that he will leave me alone. Verse 4, Ben-Hadad agreed to the King Asa's request and sent his armies to attack Israel. So what's happening now, this King Asa, he's been attacked by this king. And so he sends gold and silver to this other king, a third king, to attack him, his homeland, so that it would cause him to back off and go to his home to defend his own people. Okay? So that's what's going on here. And then it said, Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and sent his armies to attack Israel. They conquered the towns of Ajon, Dan, Abel, Beth, Mahaka, and all the store cities of Naphtali. That's what it says. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I was speaking in tongues. As soon as Baasha of Israel had heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah. Then verse 6 said, King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. Now what's happened? What's happened? You have here a man who is running on empty. He had experienced the power and the mercy and the grace and the glory of God years ago. He had decided to follow his God with all his heart. The Bible says in chapter 15 that he was blameless all the days of his life. But now all of a sudden he's being attacked after 10 years of peace. Now you would think he'd have time to get his armies together, be fresh, ready. You know, you've been on vacation, you're ready for a fight. You could come out, you're okay. You're ready. You can do these things. But he wasn't ready because he was running on empty.
Yeah.
And so what was his response to this? He decided to take the money from the treasuries and bribe this other guy to help him. Now, some of you would say, well, big deal. It worked. Some of you may have been trying some of this your own self. Some of you have probably been trying to reach your dream and your heart's desire on your own. Some of you may have been like Asa. You've had a dream for a long time, and the reason you're running on empty is because you've tried it in everything you've got. I did it. I still work on it. If I say Jerry's working on it, bless his heart. Now say bless Brother Kennedy's heart. He put up with him. He put up with him. So this is all going on. This is the background of everything that's going on. It worked. The king quit attacking him, left and went back. Everything's okay. But God saw it a little differently. And the Lord sent a prophet to him. Now listen to this. Verse 7. At the time, Hanani, the seer, came to King Asa and told him, now listen, you just won a victory. Didn't matter. You know, it worked. And then all of a sudden, this prophet's looking at him and said, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the king of Aram. In other words, he missed a chance to destroy the enemies of God. Then the Lord began to remind him of some things. He said, don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans on their vast army with all their chariots and horsemen? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. Now, what's happened here? God has sent a correction to Asa and said this was not good. And now he's reminding Asa of the Lord's record. He said, did not. When you sought me and relied on me, did I not do this for you? Now the Lord changes and begins to remind him of something else. He changes to remind him of the Lord's character. And that's when we get to verse 9. He said this, the eyes of the Lord, he's telling him his character. The eyes of the Lord, they search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. My goodness. What is He saying here? Now, you know, it always helps me when I'm studying Scripture. I like to do sentence diagrams. Y'all, any of y'all that like to study the Word, y'all do that? You'll just break down the sentences and say, this says this to this. For here it says, for the eyes, so you put for the eyes of the Lord. You put that down here, of the Lord. So you have for the eyes of the Lord. And so it begins to make the Scriptures clear. Begins to tell you what's talking. It begins to illuminate things for you. And we're going to do that very quickly. Let's just see what God said. Let's just see what He's talking about. He said He's looking to bless people, show off, to be powerful to those whose hearts are perfect. But what does He mean by that? Because He just said in chapter 15 that Asa's heart was blameless all the days of his life. But now we hear Him saying He's searching for people whose hearts are perfect. Asa was not helped. What in the world is going on? I asked the Lord this question. Now, I'll get to you later about it, but this is one of my pet scriptures. This is the one when I was going through some things, I'm getting ahead of myself, that I almost cussed God out. Somebody said, yeah, I knew it. I knew He'd be that way. Pagan. Pagan. I was on empty. And I had nothing left in me except anger, bitterness, aggravation, hurt, pain, and all I could. I had everything I touched was falling apart. Everything that I tried was not working. And I used the Scripture against God, but see, I quoted it out of context. What is he talking about? Now listen to this. Let's move quickly. For the eyes of the Lord. Number one, when he says the Lord, he's talking about I am. Everybody, we know about that. Right. For the eyes of I am, the one who is, the one who is all. He is in everything and everything in him. Everybody agreement with that? I am. But he's talking about here the eyes. Now, when the scriptures in the Hebrew, this particular word for eyes, you know what the root of that word means? It means source. So the source of the Lord is what it's talking about. The eyes of the Lord, the source of the Lord, of the source of I am. Now, how many of y'all know the source of I am is pretty serious?
Yeah.
How many of you know it's not limited?
Right.
It's unlimited.
Right.
So he's saying here, the eyes, the source of the Lord, does something.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 15, verse 3, don't turn there, but it says God's eyes are in every place to behold good and evil. God sees everything. Genesis 6 and 8 said, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Psalms 33, 18 and 19 says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear and reverence Him to deliver and provide. Behold, the eye, the source of the Lord, is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. The source of the Lord is looking for something. He is looking to provide. He is looking to deliver. He is looking for whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever you desire. He is looking to provide that for you. Somebody, some of you religious folks may say, that don't sound like my God. You make Him sound like a butler or one of them concierges. I'm telling you, that's the God of the Bible. I'm telling you, that's the God we serve. He is looking. He is looking through the whole earth. It says here, to and fro of the whole earth. You know what that means? What that's talking about? His eyes are on the journey. In the Hebrew, they're moving about. He just didn't go out starting off. Excuse me. They're not just out roaming like men's eyes. They're out roaming for a purpose. He's roaming to provide deliverance. Safety, security, blessings, peace, prosperity, health. His eyes are roaming the whole earth. His eyes are on a journey over the whole earth where nothing's hidden from Him to do something. Now, if we see that He's wanting to do that, what exactly is He wanting to do? Now, listen to this. In the Hebrew, it says to show Himself strong, but what it means is to be strong. So the source of the Lord is looking for people He can be strong for. It means to prevail. The eyes, the source of the Lord is looking over the whole earth for those He can prevail for. Prevail over, overcome and deliver. The eyes of the Lord also means to take hold of. My goodness. Now if I took hold of you, you could probably get loose. But when He says, the Lord take hold of something, how many of y'all know when He's got it, He's got it?
Yeah.
There ain't no slipping. There ain't no old grunting, carrying on. Oh, that hurts my arm. My boy grabbed me the other day and I grabbed him like I could do something with him. Oh! I felt pains in my arms and elbows that I hadn't felt in a long time. Then I tried to be nice to him because I was at His mercy. But the Lord's not like that. I am the source. Everything that He has and is looking to deliver to the people He loves. Or is that what He said? No, it said to those whose hearts are perfect. But He said Asa, heart was blameless. And now He's saying He's looking to show Himself perfect. Strong, half a perfect. I asked the Lord, I said, what is going on? You said He's blameless. And now you're saying you look to do all this for people whose hearts are perfect. What is it you mean, Lord? Asa, did he not get an answer because he was angry? As in verse 10, chapter 16. When the prophet delivered a message to him, he said he was enraged. And what this is talking about, it literally means he was upset to the point that a storm was breaking out. How many of y'all ever had someone have a storm break out? He was enraged. Did the Lord not give it to him because he was enraged? Because he said his heart was blameless over here. And he's saying he's looking for those whose hearts are perfect, but Asa wasn't. What's going on? Did he not get delivered because in verse 12, later, it said Asa became sick. And he said he did not seek the Lord. He sought not the Lord for deliverance and healing. But he went to men. He went to the king, foreign king, for help. And now he wouldn't even go to the Lord for his healing. Now, before we wag our heads, how many of us really believe God wants to heal us?
Yes.
I mean, really. You can talk. We're okay. There's times I believe it and times I don't. When I'm trying it in my head, when I'm trying to figure God out with my mind, my will, and my emotions, sometimes I believe Him and sometimes I don't. But see, the kind of belief that God needs is the kind of belief that comes out of the Spirit. And the Spirit can only get that kind of revelation by a rhema word, a revelation of God's Word. And only became just one of those moments. And you meditate on that. But I don't know if how many of us really believe that God wants to heal us. How many of us believe that Scripture says that He became poor, that we may become rich?
Right.
How many of us really believe God's eyes are going over the whole earth, seeking to show Himself off on your behalf?
That's right.
What is? Are you y'all look at me confused? Say I'm confused. Just get off and get on. Listen, Asa, Brother Kennedy's smiling. Anyway, chapter 14, verse 11, Asa changed. Something's happened to Asa, and we're going to get to this. It said, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, now this is before. Say before.
Before.
This is when he did good, like Andy said. Say
did good.
He said, Lord, there's no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. He said, Lord, there's none but you.
That's it.
So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust and rely on you. And in your name have come against this multitude, O Lord, for you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now see, he's tasted victory, but what is wrong here? What are we missing? Is there a piece of this thing we're just not... Is there something, Jerry, just being... Is there something we're not understanding? Asa changed. He went from being, Lord, there's none besides you, to there is another way. I got gold and silver. I just buy my way out of this thing. He went for the Lord, you help those without strength, to leaning on his own understanding and his own wisdom. He went from God, we trust in you alone, to trust in silver and gold. But he still did not seek God. What is his problem? The Bible said Asa was blameless all the days of his life. And it says over here that God's eyes roam, his source roams the whole earth to show off. And show himself strong.
Come on.
What happened to Asa? What was the problem? He was blameless. But he wasn't delivered. And here's the point. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
Here's the point. And I'll explain it like this to you. Do you know that you can be born again and not have your prayers answered? Did you know you can be blameless in the eyes of God and not get what you want? Did you know that you could need healing and cry and beg and maybe not get healed? Your heart's blameless, but you're not being delivered. He says he's looking for people whose hearts are perfect. But he said you're blameless. Get to the point. what happens to us as believers is we don't understand what a perfect heart is. And guess what? It's not what you may think. You want me to get to it? It's not being sinless. Say, thank God. So, Jeff's going to say, that's it. It's not having a heart that is sinless, but it's a heart that has confidence, that has trust. And the root word of that means to be at rest. The eyes of the Lord roam the whole earth looking to bless somebody. And who is he wanting to bless? Those whose hearts are perfect. Those whose hearts have confidence. Those who are trusting in him only. Not leaning on their own understanding, not leaning on their own resources, not leaning on all these other things, but the eyes of the Lord, he's wanting to bless somebody, and he's wanting to do something for somebody who trusts him, whose hearts are perfect. He's wanting to bless somebody when he's looking around. I can get bug-eyed. He's looking and roaming for someone that has confidence. He's looking and roaming for someone who has peace. He is looking and roaming to give his source to someone who believes him. He's looking for someone that needs healing. He's looking for someone who needs deliverance. He's looking for someone who needs help. He's looking for someone who just needs something and they don't even know themselves. The eyes of the Lord are looking. He's looking for somebody who's at rest. Somebody who believes him with us so much that they're saying, God, I don't understand it in my mind. I don't understand it in my emotions. I don't feel it. I don't always think it. But I know this. The Word of God says your eyes are roaming. The Word of God says you're looking for someone. You're looking for someone who's at rest. And by the Lord's name, I am going to rest. Because I can trust in my Savior. I can trust in the Lord. I can trust in that King. I can trust in those big eyes looking for me. I can be the one that he's looking for. I'm resting, Lord. I'm quitting all my work. I'm quitting all my sweating. I'm quitting all my striving. I'm quitting all my pushing. I'm quitting all my pain. I'm quitting all my crying. I'm quitting all this cussing. I'm quitting all this hating. I'm laying down this anger. I'm laying down the pain. I'm laying down all my confusion. I'm laying down my wants. I'm laying down what I think. I'm laying down these things. I'm laying it down. I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest because my Savior lives and he is looking for to bless me. He's looking to help me. I can't help myself. Let me tell you something. The other night,
Yes, Lord.
The Lord woke me up. And I can't tell you what he said to me. But he whispered in my ear. And there was no doubt that the Lord just spoke to me. As soon as my eyes opened, he said it. And I was shocked. But he gave me a promise. And I can only share this with you, that in 1 year, my life would not be the same.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
In 1 year.
Yeah.
In 1 year. The eyes of the Lord. Where was I? I was resting in my bed. Now some of you may say, well, if you mean resting, you mean do nothing. Oh, hush. Just hush. What I mean is you are working to rest. You want to believe him. You are letting it go. To understand rest, if I leaned on this thing,
come on,
I'm resting on it. But some of you are running out of gas. Some of you are leaning on something else.
Thank you, Lord.
You've tried to figure it out.
Yeah.
You've leaned on people.
Yeah. Right.
You've leaned on circumstances.
Right.
You've leaned on situations. You've leaned on your own intelligence. your own abilities to work it out, figure it out. You've leaned and done everything you could, but your gas is running out. And it hadn't worked. And I'm going to tell you something. I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this. Before I hit bottom in my financial life, some of you don't know me, I hit bottom. I was on the bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom. Y'all, if you were here when I came here, you remember me crying and squalling every service. Mm-hmm. Pastor would get me to say something like... There was a time, though, in my life, I lived in $1 million house on 65 acres. And I was losing everything I had. My business, it was like someone turned the faucet off. It stopped. I was on the RE/MAX Executive Club. And my business stopped. I was trying to learn how to trade, and I was, let's just say, confused. Lost hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to trade. I was doing everything I could to save my house. I was doing everything I could to get out of this problem. I was like Asa. I was borrowing money I couldn't pay back. I was doing all this stuff trying to figure out God. And one day I lost $3,000 in the stock market in one afternoon that I couldn't afford to lose. Debt people were calling me. I had made so many mess up and so stupid decisions in my life. I couldn't go back. Couldn't change. Made people mad. Burned bridges. Did all those things. And I go stagger. Y'all ever staggered? I staggered. I went and got in the shower. That's where I pray when I'm depressed. I'm in the shower. You might as well be naked for the Lord. He already sees it on him. Oh, that's the picture we don't need to see. But I remember crying. And I was crying to God. And I shared this in the men's meeting, and I'll share it with you. I was crying out to God, and I said, God, your word says that your eyes search the whole earth looking for those you can bless. And I cussed God. My hair's still on. I didn't get parted and didn't nothing happen. Because he knew the pain. And I said, who in the blank, I said a different word, who in the blank do you think I am? I am the one hanging out this blank window, waving a sheet, saying, here I am. What are you waiting for? I can't take anymore. Who in the blank do you think I am? You said it. You said you were looking for this. You said it, God. I need it, God. I'm going under. Don't you care? Don't you understand that nothing I've done is working? Don't you care that nothing, my dream is dead? Don't you care I'm on empty? Don't you care? There's no way out. You see, I thought that scripture said the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong to those who cry. I thought it said to those whose hearts are broken. To those who are weak and helpless. To those who cuss me. To those who are desperate. To those who have no hope. To those who have given money, took people out of foreclosure, gave cars away. I thought he said he was seeking people to show himself strong that had got people out of debt. I thought he said that. But what he said was, he's looking for people who are at rest. I leaned on everything I could do. I tried it all. Messed up everything. And And the sad thing about it is, y'all know my wife, bless her heart. Bless her heart, really. She puts up with me. I mean, my God.
Amen.
The cheering section, Brother Kennedy. My wife told me in 2004 we got into the faith movement. I told you the story about we were against faith movement. We thought they were ungodly bunch of pagans and just wanted your money and stuff like that. But we decided we had nothing else, so we might as well get into the faith movement. So I started reading everything I could about Kenneth Copeland and Brother Hagin. All I started reading everything I could. And my little old wife came up to me right before the things really began. You know how sometimes when you start going down hell, it speeds up. Well, right before things began to speed up, my wife looked at me and she said, I believe the Lord told me to tell you, you need to rest. She said that. And I went, ignorant woman! Don't you know anything? A man's supposed to work. A man's supposed to provide for his family. Bible says that a man's worse than a pagan. He can't take care of his family. And I'm working. I'm working this. I am going to work. I'm going to do everything I can to make this thing go. I'm going to do this. She said, all I know is God told me to take a year off and rest and study about Him. Ignorant woman. How could she say such a stupid thing? And she was right. Ignorant man. Foolish man that I am. Hard-headed and stubborn. Oh my goodness. I don't know what would have happened. It would be all speculation. Thank you. I don't know what would have happened had I taken her advice and just rested. But I could not perceive resting. But I didn't understand resting was just taking, having confidence in God and relaxing and trusting Him to do good. And if you're here tonight, and you're running on empty, it's because you're not resting. And tonight, I believe with all my heart that it's not who we think it is. Now, I don't know what that means, but I think the person or persons that's for is for you. And God wants to show Himself powerful for you. He wants you to quit trying all the things you've tried. He's wanting you to quit leaning on all this other stuff that's nonsense. It seems like nonsense. You really, you're sincere, just like me. I was sincere. I was really trying to work that thing and make a living. But let me tell you something. I tried in my own strength, and I said I trusted God. I said I believed the Lord. Because the Word of God says that if I abide in Him or something like that, and His Word abides in me or something like that, then I could ask what I want and I could have it. I convinced myself that but I didn't believe. You know, if y'all know I got what I expected.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Because it was evidence, but not what I said. Not how I was even acting, but what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
If Jeff promised me $1 million and I knew he had it to give to me, and I trusted him, and I knew he was a man of his word, and I knew he doesn't say things like that unless he means it. And he brought me $1 million. He said, I got $1 million to give it to you. There's a part of us that would say, well, brother, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a part of us that would say, what's he up to?
Right.
What's he going to ask?
Yeah.
Well, there's a part of us, our minds are so messed up. It's just messed up. So what God is just saying to us, it's rest. And let me give you two. The Bible says Job was a blameless man. But he was full of fear. And he said what he feared most came upon him. And then later after he got to know God, he said, I heard of you, but now I know you. And then he was blessed. In the Scriptures, you remember the woman with the issue of blood? It said that she had that issue of blood for how many years? 12 years? Said she had spent everything she had trying to get fixed. She was leaning on doctors, leaning on science and the things and that. She spent every penny she had. She gave it. And the word there says about her suffering, it means scourging. This was not a good thing. She was in pain for all these years. But she heard about Jesus. It says that. It's in the Bible. And she said, if I can just touch Him, I'll be healed. and she touched him.
Right.
The hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
And she was healed instantly.
Right.
How many of you know she wasn't leaning on those doctors?
That's right.
She'd run out.
Right.
She was running on empty. She'd run out. But on the way, you know, where was Jesus going? Jesus was going to the man whose daughter was dying.
Yeah.
The man said, "My daughter dies, come help me." And Jesus said, "Okay." And the Bible said that Jesus followed the man. What's that all about? Jesus following the man. And then all of a sudden this man's his door. How many of y'all know that would be an emergency?
Yeah.
And you all of a sudden somebody comes up, Brad comes up and starts wanting to be healed or something. Half a year, he could have just waited one more hour, wouldn't have hurt a thing. And I'm sitting here going, my daughter's dying. Yeah, how many of y'all know that we have poverty mentalities when it comes to money? We have a poverty mentality when it comes to Jesus. We believe when one person being blessed, there went my blessing. That's the poverty mentality. But he looked at Jesus, and then some friend came up and said, "Leave him alone." And what he said in the Greek was, "Stop harassing him." That's what it meant. "You a bother. You wormy old thing. Leave him alone." The man's daughter's dying. And the guy says, "It's too late. She's dead. Leave him alone." How many of you know that would have sent you to the bottom of the empty tank? And he looked at Jesus, and Jesus heard what it said, and he said, "Just believe." And when he says, "Just believe," he's talking about just rest. Just rest. Trust me and rest. Rely on me and me alone. You're at the end. Trust me. And something happened. The man then followed Jesus. They swapped positions. I wonder tonight if you're here and you're at the end. Without dragging it on, everybody, if you just stand, you know who you are. And I'm not going to ask you to come down unless someone just needs prayer, and we'll pray when everybody else is dismissed. But if it's you, let me just say this to you. And people like Brother Jeff and Brother Kenneth, you know me, you know that I haven't perfected this message. But this message is working through me. What you have to do is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, right?
Yes.
You have to find the specific Scripture for what you need. And then you need to meditate on that one Scripture and pray over it. And, you know, most faith people want to quote the Word, but they don't want to have a relationship with Jesus. You got to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You need to talk to Him, and you need to pray with Him. If you're doing one without the other, you're out of balance. You got to have His Word, and you got to have Him.
Right.
And Jesus says this. Very simple. It's not a complicated thing. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That's what He said. I wonder if you need rest tonight. Let's have a bow of heads. No one looking around. Father, we just thank You. We acknowledge You, Father. We acknowledge that, God, we have tried and worked so hard to make things happen. We have quoted words and shouted and screamed and hollered. We've done all the things. We've worked. We've been flustered, frustrated, and agitated and aggravated. We've done all these things. We've done everything we can in our strength, and Lord, nothing's working. It seems like, God, that just absolutely nothing's happened. People are getting their blessings. Things are happening to other people. But, God, it looks like You're flying over, and I'm hanging that sheet out the window saying, "God, who do You think I am? Here I am." And the Lord would say to you that all you need to do, put the sheet down. Because He does not take pleasure in your defeats. He's saying to you, stop. Stop building a memorial to your defeats. Stop standing on that sheet of your failures. Stop rehearsing and nursing all the things you've messed up. Stop. Come to Him. He will give you rest, because the eyes of the Lord are searching for those people who are at rest, who believe Him, who trust Him, who have confidence in Him that He's a good and merciful and kind God, and that you do have a next coming in your life. You have more than a next. You have a now.
Come on.
And you just lay it down. Right now, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to give it to Him. Whatever it is, just lay it into His lap. Just say, Lord, I can't even give you anything without trying to work it up. And Lord, all I can do now is ask you to help my unbelief. Now, as you're praying, did you know that when that man said, I believe, help my unbelief, what he was saying was, Lord, if you're depending on me to do something, then it ain't going to happen. That's what he was saying. He said, I believe, but I just can't do it. I'm on empty. And the Lord is saying, put your performance down on the sheet and just believe. Just rest. Relax. Be at peace. He said, His peace He gives you. And as you're laying it down right now, all I want you to do is just breathe deep. Just breathe deep and relax. This is not some kind of metaphysical thing. This is just relax. Just relax. Blow it out. And when you blow it out, blow out those problems. When you breathe in peace. And say, Lord, by faith, I breathe that I'm breathing in the peace of the Lord God. I receive it, Lord. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. The Lord would say to you that you think that you have to perform and do mighty things to get His attention. You think that you must suffer many sufferings. You think that you have to turn and whip and work and sweat. You think that by your pain, by your suffering, you have my attention. You think by your tears and your crying that you have my attention. But He says, rest, for the Lord has paid the price for your sins. For everything that you've done, for every sin you've committed, past, present, and future, it's all done. You're clean in His name. You're clean by the blood of Jesus. You're whole. He says that's why there is no condemnation for you. Because He came to give you life. But you say, well, somebody has to pay the price. Somebody has to suffer. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I've hurt. You don't know the pain that I've caused. And He says to you, I do know. Someone did pay that price. Someone has paid that price, and His name is Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
It's done. It's done. Just pray in the Spirit, Father. Shila mokosola kosine le motasa yine le potolene le. Korolo kosai tele sitile mosanda. Yasa just